You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. Although we start off this hour talking to a dear friend of the show. You know him from Guardians TV. You've known him from Indians or Guardians TV for the past, I don't know, a couple of years. And we want to talk to him a little bit about what's going on. Of course, it is Rick Manning. Hello, Rick. How are you?
Hi, Rick.
Jeff, Andy, I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
We are doing good. We're looking for some wins out of this team. But obviously, Rick, the big news today, obviously, Luis Ortiz has been suspended. Not so much about him, but what does it mean to the rotation? And, you know, obviously it's going to create opportunity for somebody else.
Well, sure it is. I mean, Cantillo's back. He's going to make the start tonight. You know, when things are going wrong, it seems like everything happens at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know about it just as much as you guys know. They sent out that press release this morning as far as the investigation goes. So who knows? We're going to find out soon enough. But, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take. But it is going to have an impact on the rotation. He was supposed to start tonight. So that's not going to happen, and we'll just have to wait and see what he does. You're right. It's going to give somebody an opportunity to pitch, and that's right now is what they're going to have to look for. They're going to have to start looking for the future the way they've been playing.
Rick, Cantillo gets it tonight, as you mentioned. I thought he was really good pitching out of the bullpen this year, which was a strange role for him. Went down to Columbus, pitched a little bit, tried to stretch out a little bit. He comes up here. What are you expecting from Joey? And it almost feels like, Rick, okay, Joey, here you go. Here's your chance. And if it doesn't work for you.
Well, yeah, he's had a couple chances. And the thing of it is, he's got three really good pitches. He's got a good fastball, got a very good changeup, and a good curveball. To me, he just started falling in love with all the off-speed stuff. He started to forget about his fastball, especially when you're coming out of the bullpen. I mean, you've got to throw strikes. But he has three pretty darn good pitches that he can use. And this is an opportunity for him to really take advantage of the situation, you know, because he's been here before, so he's not going to be intimidated by anything. He's come out of the bullpen. He's getting an opportunity to start, and we don't know how long that opportunity is going to last. But if he can come in and do something, he could certainly open up some eyes.
Rick, you know, obviously, from a fan point of view, fans are kind of freaking out. Six-game losing streak.
Good.
Yeah, okay, well, good. That was what I wanted to hear what your answer was. I mean, so how do you get out of it?
Well, first of all, you can't feel sorry for yourselves. And offensively, we've been atrocious. You know, they're not swinging the bats. You got to score to win. And in the month of June, their starters got it together. They had a pretty good month, you know, as far as keeping them in ball games. They just couldn't score, and it seems like they were always falling behind. And their MO last year was, you know, let's score early, and then, you know, you turn it over to the pitchers, and they've been able to do it. And the bullpen was outstanding last year, but it's totally different this year. But June was a good month for the starters, but the offense couldn't get anything going. I mean, we're, as a team, hitting about 225. They can hit with runners in scoring position. You know, you're getting four or five hits a ball game, and you can't win games in the big leagues like that. They don't walk a whole lot. And they hit a lot of singles. So it's, and when your team is not playing well, like the Guardians are, you look terrible when you can't score or you can't create runs. You know, their defense has been very bad. Yesterday was the first time in 11 games they had errors in 11 consecutive games. And I mean 4-1 game, 3-another, a couple. And you can't give up any extra outs when you're trying to score or you're not going to score many runs. And you got to go back to 2011 for that error streak, 11 straight games with errors. So it's a combination of everything. And the boys had better, they got to each worry about their own job and do their thing. And don't try and do too much. Easier said than done. But that's what they have to do.
Rick, there are three guys on the team in the lineup that I think, man, if you guys can just do what you did at some point in your career, just do that. You don't even have to be any better than that. This team's in a completely different spot. Nolan Jones is one of them. Lane Thomas is another who hit a home run last night. And David Fry is the other who hit a home run last night. Well, what do you think their prospects are of just being what they've been in the past?
Well, first of all, two of those three guys, you got Fry and you got Thomas, they miss so much of the year.
Yep.
They're playing catch up, you know, so they're trying to do more than they're capable of. And they're not caught up with it. I mean, it's tough to, when you miss a couple of months to start the year out, to come in and think you're going to fit right into the schedule. And it doesn't work that way. You know, I think you need about 100 at bats to get yourself feeling comfortable once the season starts, even coming out of spring training. You know, it takes a while, especially with a lot of the cold weather and everything you play in Cleveland. But when you come back and you think you're going to get in right in tune like you did last year, and just because you've hit left-handers well in your career doesn't mean you're going to do it every year. And those guys, they're paid to hit left-handed pitching, both of them. And they both hit them very well last year. But this is a different year. They haven't done it. And, you know, we've tried. Yeah, we had Noel in the outfield. We're not getting production from right field, from center field, from behind the plate. Has been terrible as far as, you know, offensive production. And you're looking at some really important spots, second base as well.
Rick,
so there's just too many holes to plug.
Well, so there's been all kinds of talk about DeLauder, maybe Kafa somewhere down the road. I just take me inside, like inside baseball, inside the front office, like. When do they decide they really, like, when's a good time that you're going to pull the trigger, and especially for DeLauder? It feels like he could be up as early as this weekend.
Why not?
Yeah, I agree.
What's it going to hurt? Why is it going to hurt? If he's playing in the minor leagues, he could be playing in the big leagues. I don't see any difference. So get him up here. Let's take a look and see what he is. It's not going to hurt. And so, as long as he can stay in the lineup, I'd say bring him up right now.
Quit making sense.
Why do you think they're waiting?
I can't tell you that. You got to ask them, and they'll have their excuses. But you know what? Get them up here,
Rick.
That's how I feel.
I have a question. I've thrown this thought out several times, and you can either shred it or back me up, because I can't think of anybody better to answer this question than you. Could Stephen Kwan be your everyday center fielder, and would that be a good idea?
You know what? I would rather see him stay in left than go to center field, you know, because it's not that he can play center. It'll wear him down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's
had some leg things.
You need a center fielder, you know? I mean, I'll tell you what, when I watched when Toronto came to town and I watched Straw play center field, you just forget how easy he made it look.
Yeah.
And we need a center fielder. You know, they've been putting Martinez out there, who's an infielder. You got to make decisions on some of these guys and leave them at one position. We platoon, and they don't call it platoon. But if you're not playing every day, you're a platoon player.
Right.
We need some everyday players. You got to plug guys into spots where they're comfortable. For me, I think that Martinez is more comfortable at second base every day. So give him a chance to play there every day. Let's see him grow up as an everyday player at second base. He deserves the opportunity if he's playing up here. But they like to move guys around. And you know, I'd rather keep Kwani, to get to your question, I'd rather keep him in left field than put him in center, because I don't know if he'd be a good center fielder, to be honest with you. He's a tremendous left fielder.
Who do you like in center? Would it be DeLauter? Who might it be?
No, you can't. With his issues of getting hurt, you got to cover too much ground. You need somebody that can run and go get him.
Okay.
I mean, Martinez is not bad out there, but he's basically an infielder. I'd rather see Martinez try and play every day. Look, I don't think that Thomas is going to stay here. He's a free agent at the end of the year, and he hasn't done much for his cause to re-sign him because of the time that he's missed. So you got to find somebody to play center field.
Rick, when should you look at the standings? I mean, it's hard not to look at them right now, we've been through this so many times. Like, I'll look at the standings. I'll be like, oh, my God, they're 11 back.
No, 12 and a half now.
Yeah. Thanks for waking me up again for 2 days later. But I just, at what point, and then with the wild card, you're like, oh, three. And then you wonder, well, okay, what should the front off? But they've got to infuse some. But as a fan, tell me, like, when should I really be looking at the standings?
Right now, you better be looking to the future and what you're going to do. I mean, you're still in the wild card hunt. You know, and you still have plenty of time to get yourself back in there. You just got to start looking for what you're going to do for we see Carlos Santana playing first base all the time. I don't think he's going to be back next year and play there. So why don't you, if Manzardo is going to be your first baseman, or you have somebody that you want to look at, play him out there. Get him at bats and let's see if he can do it. You got to find out about this ball club to move forward if you're going to evaluate it. We've done it all spring. They tell you they want to look at their organization. Well, we've had a good look, and you may need some other players. You know, I they've got some work to do. Because right. When you look at it, I mean, you look at our bench late in the game when you're coming off it, there's not many pinch hitters you can bring off the bench, especially when you have young guys on your team that haven't even been know the pitching in the big leagues yet.
David Fry was – go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry.
No, I was just thinking, you've got to get some veteran players around. Help.
David Fry was so good early last year, Rick, and then fell off a little bit. Clearly, the arm injury probably had something to do with that. He's not able to play a position. He hasn't found his stroke yet. He hit a home run last night. How do you handle him if he's not hitting and all he can do is DH for you? I know he has options left. You don't want to send him down to find his swing. What would you do?
Well, you know what? He probably should have stayed down there for a little bit longer to get that swing going, probably. You know, but the way we were going and, we weren't scoring runs, they probably felt they needed him here more, you know, instead of getting them going. And they didn't think he would struggle like he has. But it's tough to play catch-up. And you're right. He's only a DH. And right now, so is Manzardo. He's only a DH. But he's taking at bats away from him. So it's a tough way to figure it out. It really is.
And the tough part goes back to what you said about platooning guys. You would love to just have, like Mike Hargrove always said, starters are starters for a reason. Mike had guys who should be starting,
Right.
And I don't know if Stephen Vogt has guys who should be starting.
Well, I agree. You're an everyday player for a reason. And, there's guys that are on the bench. And it used to be where you had guys that have played a while and they know pitching and they know themselves. They know how to come off the bench and pinch hit. When you've got kids up there, you're just hoping and praying that they get a hit. And it's just tough to do. I mean, I think we need more everyday players instead of the guys floating around the field like they play a bunch of different positions.
Rick, Jose named starter yesterday, all-star team. I mean, he is the bright spot.
There's the one.
Yeah, on this team and sometimes I look and I'm like, man, I hope fans don't take him for granted.
Oh, well, you can't take him for granted, but he's the one guy. Him and Kwan are the two guys you can actually count on, as far as being out there. And Jose's the best. And he's getting tired now. He's 18 now? So he's tired. A day off for Jose is a DH role for one day.
Yeah. It's true.
When they give him a day off, they don't. He never gets time off. And hey, it's wearing down. He's 33 years old, and he still plays the game as well as he did. But it catches up to you after a while. And when you keep getting beat up and you're not scoring, it's got to wear him down as well. And now he's got to go to an All-Star game. He's going to start. he's going to get, you know, he'll never get a time off.
It's a good point. I didn't think about it that way. All right, last question for you. There's a part of me that I know, like, everything you've said, I totally agree with all of you on all of that, and I don't want to hop on the excuse train, but they have played teams that have been in first place here, and they're playing teams that are so I think if you're vote, how are you trying to keep that clubhouse going in the right direction? You could say, hey, look, we've gone up against some pretty good pitching. Jeff kills me when I say this to him, just so you know that. But and you're also playing against teams.
Come on, Rick.
You're also playing against teams that are in first place right now. Can you? We just got to weather the storm. What are you saying if you're the manager?
Yes, because everybody plays the good teams throughout the course of the year. Everybody's going to get a chance to play them all the same. It doesn't matter. They are going through a tough part of the schedule and have been. And this 9 games that we started with back home, you got it. And you know, you're playing all first place teams. Well, it's not going to get any easier. We come home, we got 3 with Detroit, and then we go out right back on the road Sunday, and we got Houston, another first place team. So you know what? You've got to play them. You got to get through it. Let's see what you're made of.
Fair enough.
If you're going to be a playoff game, look at these. The Guardians were in the ALCS last year. And now you're 12 and a half back. So, hey, there's really no excuses. You got to go out and you got to play everybody. You're going to have your ups. You're going to have your downs. But they better figure it out in a hurry if they want to stay in contention for the wild card.
Rick, as always, you know, we love talking to you and making us a little bit smarter about the game every time we talk to you. Thank you, Rick.
Are you guys going to fight after that? I settle any arguments?
No, not at all. We still
fired fight. Some up. Thank you.
Rick, we're not doing the pregame show anymore. We got to live with each other for 20 hours a week. You can ask our other buddy that we did the pregame show. Then we'll see if we can get a fight with him. You see him every night. Yeah. So
that's right. We'll get it started up again.
All right. Tell Matt we're coming after him then. Thanks.
Yeah, I will. All hey, right. Guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. We appreciate you. All right. Rick Manning, yeah. Guardians TV, the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, we got a great season going here with the Guardians. Now a pitcher's being investigated. I don't know what for, but we'll find out probably by the time you hear this tease.
And Ken gives us the remaining 25 movies his kid must watch. And we end on a very depressing note.
Apocalypse Now, Full Metal Jacket, or Born on the 4th of July. We let you choose on the next edition of the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. What is going on here? What is this? What is this story?
Yeah, we got news. Jeff Passan had put it out. The Guardians right-hander Luis Ortiz has been under investigation by Major League Baseball and has been placed on paid leave, so he gets to keep getting his checks.
Well, MLB, you can't help but speculate.
MLB did not release specifics of the investigation, so Kenny, I urge you to be professional.
I'm not going to speculate
this is
publicly.
No place for speculation of what kind of situation he is under
usually
investigation.
It's one of two
for.
Things. Usually it's one of two things. Well, now it's usually one of two things. It used to be just one thing.
Right. Well, normally,
because I don't see any. If there was anything legally, there would have been a crime report somewhere.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen anything like that. So it's either one of two things. It's either things that guys used to get popped for, or it's something that guys are now
getting popped for right.
Allegedly.
So, I think people catch your drift.
Okay, so, I hope they do.
But I would just kind of a bigger question. You talked about like the apathy setting in. Like even my buddies that normally it's play by play of Guardians games over the last like 5 years, it's been anytime someone hits a home run, anytime, like those are gone. Those are all gone from my phone right now. And I have them on. They're on in the background while I'm, you know, getting the kids ready for bed and bath and all that stuff. But are you sensing not only the lost season, are you sensing the level of apathy that is at the level where it could be really dangerous moving forward? Because like, a lot of teams have bad years, right? And the Guardians have been one of those teams that, man, their bad years have been few and far between, especially under Tito. You know, they were relevant almost every year. If they had any kind of a down year, they made up for it the very next year. The benefit of the doubt that we came into the season with, some of us, while we were getting shouted at for the inactivity from the Dolans and from the organization following an ALCS run, I fought those people. Well, it turns out I was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have given them the benefit of the doubt. I will tell you this, won't make that mistake again. So you can lose that benefit of the doubt in 1 year, and maybe just a few months, you might lose that. And I don't know how they recover from that, other than DeLauder coming up and being sensational.
Yeah.
I don't know how you, but then it's going to be, why didn't you bring him up sooner? Why didn't you inject that life into the clubhouse earlier? Because this team needs more than just that now. This team needs
Overreact here. I mean, it's not good, but let's not reach a critical mass of things that we can't take back. It's not been a good year. My concern is, though, is that this year's going to end poorly, which that's not the biggest concern. If the season ends poorly, my biggest concern is that this is used against them in a court of sports for years to come with the fans. I don't know how much longer the guy's going to own the baseball team, but I'm telling you, this sticks with him. Because, again, I thought a lot about the TV contract, and, well, when you pull the rug out, we're under the TV contract, you can only do so-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. And Zach Meisel's just not accepting that. So if he's not accepting that and there's other people not accepting that, then I guess I got to stop using it. And I stopped using it last week as an excuse. I can't use that as an excuse anymore. So if that's no excuse for them, then guess what? Then they just decided that last year was a blip. Last year was a fluke, and that they still have been a middling baseball team then for 3 years, because this is what a middling baseball team is doing. They're having a very bad week. They're under 500. They'll probably finish under 500. That's the way things go. This Luis Ortiz mystery investigation doesn't make anybody feel any better, but I still believe that it's been a good franchise for a long time. But it's not. I don't think it's the time to give up on the franchise. I think a lot of people are calling it quits on the season. Because, damn it, man, you got a real problem in your clubhouse. You haven't won a game over the last week after what's happened when Jose Ramirez got hit. I think that sticks out. You got to have some level of fight to you. You got to have some level of gumption to go out there and get the damn thing done. This has been a frustrating time. And I know that we've tried to say the best thing possible is that you have the 28th hardest strength of schedule, which means you have a very easy schedule in the second half. Okay, but when your head's underwater and you have no chance in the division and you really might not have a serious chance in the wild card, what's that point? What's that got to do with anything? Maybe it'll fool us going into next year. I'm not sure. Because one of the things that I was holding on to is that, hey, maybe we got four pitchers here under the age of 25 or 26 that we could possibly work with for the future here and put this rotation back together. Well, now we got guys under investigation for things that they won't even tell us about. Other than that, it's going real well. I did have a lot of reactions. I wanted to bring this up to you. Do you have anything else with the Guardians?
They have had one below 500 season. In the last, I believe it is 14 years, and it was just 2 years ago. And then they followed it up with an ALCS run. So we thought that was the anomaly. This team, of a lot of teams, cannot afford to go in that direction. You know, there are a lot of bad teams that can kind of stay bad for a while or whatever. That's just come to be accepted. Here, you become a victim of your own success to some degree, where you have the people that are expecting you to make the playoffs every year. You have the people that are angry that you haven't won a World Series, and they'll always come up with a fatal flaw or bring up the money as to why you haven't won the World Series. As if you just spend more money, you win the World Series. We know that's not the case in Major League Baseball at all. But so those people are angry. And so everybody ends up being angry. There's nobody happy because you've been good. You've been pretty good for so long. You've never been all-time great, but you've been pretty good for so long that the year that you're not pretty good, and in fact, you're just bad, People sharpen the knives and get off every opinion they've ever had about what's holding the Guardians back, and it all becomes a cacophony of criticism. Cacophony of criticism.
Oh, boy.
Cacophony of criticism.
Do you want me to make that the title, Cacophony of Criticism?
I think we found our title.
Cacophony of criticism. I don't even know if I can spell cacophony. Tone.
Confirming what is going on, Luis Ortiz, under investigation by Major League Baseball, placed on paid leave. Jeff, without going to just into speculation on
jumping
the rest
into
of that,
conclusions.
It's just interesting because, you know, we sat here this morning, we're like, well, we were going to talk about the Guardians and some of the offseason moves that they had made, and Ortiz felt like it was a good one, you know, especially in the beginning where it didn't feel good when the season started. And then once the season started, man, he turned the corner pretty quick. And you were like, wow, that was a really good move by Chernoff and Antonetti to get that done. As we hearken back a little bit on some of the offseason moves that they made, and now that we're at the midway point of the season, it's hard not to say, could they have invested more? And it's hard not to look at Naylor, Josh, and say, why? Why?
Still wonder that, don't you?
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, I think I know why. Because it's more of a clubhouse fit than anything else. I think that's from all the things that we had heard and kind of gathered, I think that's the best way to.
Well, nothing else makes sense, Andy.
Agree.
Nothing else makes sense.
But it does seem odd to have a clubhouse fit that didn't work.
When your brother's there.
Yes. Like, that's the most difficult part of that, I think, of the story. And we're all sitting here playing Wheel of Regret with Naylor right now, especially for a team that, you know, you got two guys that are hitting 300 or hovering around 300, and you lose another tough one last night. You're 12 and a half back on the Tigers. That seems like 10,000 miles away.
It does.
The Twins are now technically in second place by a percentage point. The Guardians at 476 with a 40-44 record. Twins at 477 with a 41-45 record. Now the Royals are right there behind. You're only a game and a half above the Royals for fourth place. And I know it's early to look at some of these things, but I do think it drives your decision-making as you get closer to the trade deadline, as you get closer to the All-Star game, and you ask yourself, all right, what are we doing here, and how does this affect our future, and can the future be now? Because, and I don't even know, you know, what does this Ortiz thing do to set back the rotation?
I think he's done a nice job. He looks like a guy from a baseball standpoint that you think, okay, they found a guy who's going to be in this rotation for a while. And now we'll see what this investigation is all about and what it leads to and what it means for his future, not just short term, but even long term. You know, who knows what this is about? So let's figure this out and go. In the meantime, Joey Cantillo gets a start. I've wanted to see Joey Cantillo in the rotation for some time. So here's his opportunity. Joey, I think Joey's at a make or break point for this team. He did really well coming out of the bullpen. They sent him down to stretch him out. He hasn't been stretched out that much. He hasn't thrown a whole lot of innings in Columbus. But he'll get the start tonight, and we'll see what he can do, Andy. Because, you know, if he shows something the rest of this year, or just short term, he gives them an option. And let's look big picture. Shane Bieber's, you know, rehabbing from the Tommy John surgery. They hope to activate him at some point this year. Well, depending on what's up with Ortiz, if Cantillo can fill a rotation spot, that gives you six starters. Screams trade.
Trade who, though?
That's the question. I truly would look to trade Shane Bieber if Shane doesn't want to pick up his option here for next year.
Yeah, you're kind of where you were a year ago, right? And how many? Spent days talking about what are they going to do? They're going to lose him. They better trade him. They better get some. And then he got hurt. And then you're like, oh, well, this kind of pushes everything off for a while.
I just, to go back to your original point, moves were made this year that I think for the first time in a while. And our organization has done a great job of trading players at the right time. And getting players back who you might not know, but who you eventually come to love. We've seen that happen time and time and time again with this front office. This time they traded players that you knew, and you thought, wow, why did you make that move? You know, you understood why they traded guys in the past. It was pretty clear. The Josh Naylor move is still befuddling. And then to turn around and bring in Carlos Santana, who's done a real solid job. I wouldn't say stunning job, but solid. And to pay him more than the Diamondbacks are paying Josh this year screams there was something else going on there. But I don't think it's helped your offense at all. If I had to pick one bat over the other, I'd take Josh Naylor. I think everybody would. If you would take leadership, well, maybe you'd take Carlos Santana, but Josh also had an energy about him that I thought was infectious.
Agree.
And or contagious, whichever way you want to. Which word do you like better?
Infectious
or contagious?
Infectious.
Okay. I thought he had some juice. Second time I've used that today. I thought he had some juice that rubbed off on the rest of the guys. This team looks flat, Andy. It looks terribly flat. It's not wildly entertaining. I wish it were. You know, last year I thought they played really entertaining baseball. This year it's like, wow, what can you do today, fellas? Anything?
And is this hangover from last year then?
No, it's no, no it's
our just, expectations are all right.
No, you know what it is? It's expectations over a body of work for Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff. And it's a good body of work. I mean, they've consistently put competitive baseball teams on the field. So at least right now, and I think this team is capable of playing better baseball. But right now, Andy, this is not what we're used to seeing out of these guys. And I'm sure that they're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, this isn't what we do. How can we fix it? And I think they are closing in on selling off just about any piece they can to bring in young talent. And they're real close to having me say, and I'm not going to speak for you, they're real close to having me say, that's what they should do.
Let me throw this one at you because I don't think that maybe we've lost a little perspective. Dan, I want your thoughts on this too. They've lost six in a row, right?
Longest losing streak of the season.
Look who they've lost to, though. You know, in that streak that started against the Jays, now in first place in the East. Cubs are, what, first place in the Central? And Cardinals are just a couple games back.
Well, do you want to compete for a playoff spot, or you just want to beat up on the weak teams?
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, are we, again, as I said yesterday, are we not looking at the opposition? I talked about the pitching, but in general, you're getting beat, but you're getting beat by teams that are also having success this season.
All right. Except,
is that wrong? Is that wrong to look at it that way?
It's not wrong, but it's not complete.
In July, I don't know if that's such a problem.
It's not complete. You know why?
Why?
You've watched enough baseball. You know, I know, Dan knows. We can see when guys are overmatched. Guardians hitters have been overmatched. And it hasn't really mattered whether the pitcher has been from a good team or a bad team. They've been overmatched way too often this year. I mean, this team's not producing hitting talent right now. It's that simple. The scary part is, look in the system. Where are those bats going to come from? There are a few names. And we've been harping on those names. Chase DeLauder.
We'll talk about him in a second. But
CJ Cephas. Ralph Velasquez, who's in A-ball. Ralph was a first-round draft choice.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't even mentioned Travis Bazzana, because Travis Bazzana is out with an injury.
We'd be screaming for him right now, wouldn't we?
Well, depends on what he'd be doing.
If he was hitting, Dan, again, I bring that same kind of argument that I had yesterday about, hey, do you tip your cap to the pitchers they've been seeing? In this scenario, do you tip your cap to this in this losing streak that you're looking at? You know,
Stephen Vogt tips his cap a lot. Have you heard him say that?
Yeah, did you ever see him tip that cat?
He's good for one tip of the cap.
I really do.
Yeah.
The Cubs are, you know, Cubs are in first place. They got a 3-game lead on the Brewers.
Andy likes cats.
It's not that I don't like them. I'm just allergic to them, so they're difficult for me. Blue Jays and Yankees are tied for first in the East. I mean, do we give credit to the teams they're losing to? Is that fair? Can you do that and say, okay, I can kind of understand. Look, we're playing. It's almost like the Cavaliers, right? We said this constantly about the Cavaliers in the beginning of the season when they were having great success. It's like, seems to be like we're running up against these teams at the right time.
But they beat them. But they beat them.
Right. And they beat them. But we also, we've got a little bit of luck of the draw. These baseball teams are playing good baseball right now. You with me on this?
So I'm doing quick math.
Yeah.
Nice. Which I know it's my understanding that there is no math on this show.
There is no math on this
show. I know, but I'm doing my best here. So against the doldrums of like the worst teams in baseball. So I've pulled up the records off of Baseball Reference up here of every opponent that they've gone up against so far. Right.
Right.
So the Orioles, they went 1-2. Yeah, I'd call the Orioles a mess this year.
They are.
So that's one win. So the Athletics, will throw them in there. So that's 3 wins.
Okay, good.
The White Sox, that's 3 more wins, so that's 6.
Thank goodness for the White Sox.
The Royals, that's 4 wins, so that's 2. I'd put the Royals in the doldrums, right? Would you guys put them there?
We're about to be in the same pool as them because we keep getting a little bit closer.
So that's 12. We should do this in the break. This is not good radio.
No, it's good. We love hearing you count.
They went 500 against the Angels. They're in the doldrums.
One.
I mean, two. The Twins, maybe you toss the Twins. I don't know if the Twins are totally in the doldrums. They're in the same spot.
There is us. We're in the same pool. We're out of the kiddie pool.
I don't think you can use that one. I don't think it's this stretch that you're in recently is the cause of the trend. I mean, goodness, you were 9-16 in June. You were 14-13 in May. And, you know, it's not like you can really point to anything and go, yes, it's the quality of the opponent that's causing this. Does it have something to do with it? Sure. Maybe a smidge, but like, the fact that she can't hit water if you fell out of a boat has more to do with it than anything.
Let me get here. Does Chase DeLauder do anything for you? If they bring him up, do you feel like all of a sudden, wow, this is great. This weekend's going to be more than just fireworks on Friday night. Man, this is going to be, I feel like the turn is coming for a team that has lost 6 in a row. Ouch. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I want to know when the bleeding is going to stop here, Jay, because I don't see a good sign. I don't see any part of this ending anytime soon, and I'm kind of worried about it.
Yeah, well, you're right. I'm certainly not happy about it. I haven't been happy to watch them for the last, like, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month.
Well, are you hate watching at this point, though? I guess that's kind of what I'm wondering. I mean, the five-game losing streak, the Guards have been outscored 32-8. They've scored just two out of the last 45 innings of baseball. And, I'm at the part where I'm watching these games, and I'm getting angry at them for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, we'll play Chase DeLauder audio coming up in a second. But like, I'm mad about the DeLauder, Kayfis, Prieto situation. I'm getting angry about the idea that it feels like anytime this whether it's Antonetti or Chernoff, they just get some sort of odd Peterlin pass that Peterlin doesn't put out. And it just like everywhere you turn, I get mad at the Dolans. I get mad at Vogt and his just relentless optimism at the end of these games. I just want him to be mad once in a while, and it just seems like it's a never-ending cycle of me just getting angry at a team that I like rooting for and I have a vested interest in and I want to see do well.
Yeah, so I reacted to the game last night on overtime, and I looked at it, and I think it was basically the end of me being mad was yesterday.
Oh, so now you hit apathy.
Yeah, I've fully reached it.
Losing five straight, seven out of your last 10 and nine out of your last 15, that's what it takes to get there.
It took that and the combination of going in, you had a chance to do something that was different. You had a chance to look at it and go, we can't hit the ball. Gabriel Arias just got hurt. What would be our fix? Bringing up somebody that can hit the ball. You brought in Brian Rocchio. Brian Rocchio can't hit the ball. I've watched Brian Rocchio for a season and 2 months. He'd be a 205 hitter. He's useless.
Did you see playoff Rocchio?
Yeah. He gave me, six games of actually being a good hitter.
Well, now we're going back to Nick's point of like, yeah, 17 at-bats is enough to be tell you that he's awesome. It's like, no, it isn't.
It's the opposite Ty Jerome.
Yeah, well, he could just be a playoff performing. Just call him up whenever you face the Yankees. Well, you got to DH him because he couldn't play defense in that series either. But that's usually the one thing he's good at. But like that was it for me. It's like, okay, so you have a chance to go call up Juan Brito, who can actually hit the baseball, and you gave me Brian Rocchio. That tells me you don't care about winning right now. Like, you don't care about at least fixing the problems that are directly smack in front of your face. I don't know how many nights Because I was spending probably three or four shows before that getting up and getting angry at Guardians games and screaming and being mad at the things they were doing and just the lackluster and lifeless offense. If you're going to give me Brian Rocchio and that's going to be your fix for the offense, okay, you don't care. In turn, I can't continue to get mad and care as much as I do.
And the problem I'm having with that is that at some point we sound like a broken record. I can only cry and yell and get angry about wanting to lauder and all these other guys up here and them just not listen and not take any sort of, at least any sort of inventory of what their fan base wants, desires, needs, anything else. And then I can only do that for so long. I mean, that's the reality. And so watching him play baseball the past couple days, really last night, and then obviously the series before, I mean, it's making my eyes bleed. But the worst part is even though I'm sitting there and I'm rooting for them to win, I got a text from a buddy of mine, and this buddy is he might be the biggest Guardians fan I know. I mean, he goes to so many different games, but the man has not missed a pitch in 20 years, right? Like, he's one of those type of fans. And he texted me last night as the game was going on and the offense was just obviously miserable. And he said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing obviously, but I didn't say his name, so what does it matter if I paraphrase or give you the exact wordage? But it was something along the lines of, like, I'm rooting for this team to now lose. Like, almost as if he wants them to sit in the mud and just kind of think about the problems that they've caused and think about the situation that they're in. Now, I think that might be a bridge too far to take it to that degree where you're rooting for the team to lose because you want Antonetti and Chernoff to look like the idiots that they currently are portraying themselves to be by not calling up these players. Might be a little too far. Might go a little too far. I'm rooting for this team to win. Obviously, I am. But there is a part of me that agrees with my friend. And there's a part of me that gets angry at what I've seen and what I've watched. And they're making what was once a really likable group seem very unlikable right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is far off as entertaining can get. Like, I mean, it's a snooze fest to watch the games. They're not fun to watch.
I've had more fun watching C-SPAN at times in life.
Yeah, not surprised.
And I love baseball. What I love about baseball so much is you have something like what happened in the second inning of last night's game with Gavin Williams, where he had three straight outs recorded, but none of them involved a Cub player swinging an at-bat. You had the two pickoffs, and like it was just like, I love baseball for those type of reasons. You will see something that you've never seen before in your life. Like, that was the first time since 1920 that Cleveland's recorded three non-plate appearance outs in one inning, and it was the first time it's happened in the big leagues since before I was born, since 1985. Like, that's what I love about baseball. Any given night, you can see something random, something weird, something different. That's what makes the game so fun. But these games have not been fun, Jake. They've been the farthest thing from fun.
No, and I think sometimes for a casual viewer, it's like, okay, if you're not scoring runs, it's not fun. That's not even necessarily the case for me. Like, I can watch a pitcher's duel and be completely entertained. Like, if Tanner Bibee's just on one night, Sonny Gray's on one night, I could be having the time of my life.
Those are my favorite games.
Yeah, like, there's a different sort of feeling to it.
You have to understand what exactly that game is, too. If it's Maddox versus Pedro, and it's not, you know, you're sitting there and you're watching both awesome pitchers. Just, I should have used an actual, like, real 2025 scenario. I apologize. I just brought two pitchers that mainly played before you were born into the equation.
That's okay. I know who both are. I got my baseball history.
If it's Crochet versus Skubal right now, that or works. Skubal versus DeGrom right now, and both players are just locked in, and both players are just dealing the way that they have been dealing, you're like, okay, I get it. The swing and miss stuff is there. They're painting corners. They are putting on an art show, and this is fun to watch. But, like, even within some of these games where you've seen the Guardians at bats be lifeless, it's not as if we've seen the starting pitching over the last five games be awesome. Like, Gavin Williams was in a lot of trouble last night in different spots.
Yeah, and that's the part that makes them, you know, probably be closer to sellers than buyers. But you ask the question, like, where does the bleeding stop? Is gross as it is, and I hate the term, and I hate the entire thing behind it, it's kind of using this team and where they're at right now and finding a way to get back to guards ball, right? Because the pitching's good. I don't like guards ball. Guards ball is boring to me.
Nobody likes guards ball. Guards ball was made up and it's stupid.
Yes.
Nobody likes guards ball.
But, like, if you look across the board,
about as cool as Brownstown.
It's close. But if you look at it, I truthfully do think, like, this team's strength is obviously just putting together base hits. They still don't have the power bats. It's not like they're going to go and just lease doubles left and right. They're not going to hit the ball over the wall. It's getting this team back to actually knowing what their role is and just having guys make solid contact. Like, I think you have You have some quad A players. There's no doubt about that. You also have some major league hitters. Like, I think Angel Martinez, while he has definite flaws in his game, I think puts together major league at bats.
When do we turn 4A into quad A? When has that become a thing? Is that a you thing?
Is that a me thing?
That might be a you
Mac,
thing.
Mac, is that a me thing?
We've always called him 4A. We've always called him 4A. First off, I hate the 4A designation. Guardians players obviously have way too many of them. Just hate it though. I get the descriptor attached to it all. It's always kind of bugged me though. It just kind of stinks. And like, we got a lot of guys that are perfect examples of it. John Kenzie Noel is a perfect example.
Jonathan Rodriguez.
Yeah, like all these. I mean, there's way too many of them. Just thought it was always just kind of a lame descriptor for people.
I think it makes a lot of sense. A guy that goes and has a terrible approach at the plate, mashes the ball against bad pitchers, and he gets up and it's like, oh, they have a scouting report on me. They know what they're doing, and I look terrible. And that's like half the guys on the roster.
It's more the idea that you can hit AAA pitching, but you can't hit major league pitching.
Right. Well,
you
know, that's like part
of it. The guy that throws 93 but has a little movement isn't going to be as much of a challenge as the guy that throws 96 and the ball moves across the plate. Like there's obviously what I love about the idea between the two. I hate the descriptor, but I love the idea between the two is that there is a massive gap in leagues. And there's just a recognition of that. But I just can't stand it. 216-474-0092. I'm sorry, that was a weird tangent by me. But I just can't stand it. Because the Guardians have so many of them. And it keeps popping up over and over again. But Chase DeLauder keeps popping up. And that's what I want to focus in on. He was on Channel 5 with our buddy Cameron. And Cameron Justice got a great interview with him. And this is what he had to say. Here we go.
You play for the fans, you know, you want to play for the city, you want to win a championship for the city, so it's great to hear and see everybody's excited for me to be there and for me to play there. It's exciting. I think fans should be excited. I mean, I'm ready to be there, I'm ready to play, and I'm glad to hear that they are ready for me too.
Yeah, I mean, he says he's ready to be a big leaguer. I don't know that DeLauder's got the most enthusiasm attached to him with anything that he says, but when he's openly speaking to local news channels and news stations about like, hey, I'm ready to play. I'm ready to be a big leaguer right now. I can't explain why they're not calling me up either. And maybe you should have already called him up.
Well, so this was such a big part of the conversation is why is he not getting called up? Well, they're trying to extend him out. They're trying to get him to play, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. And that's where they want him to be. And their claim was, hey, his body's not really responding that well to trying to play 4 days a week.
Yeah, right? Don't care. Don't buy it.
Yeah, clearly he doesn't care either.
Right.
If he's like, I'm ready to play, the body's got to be responding fine enough if you're saying, call me up, I'm ready to go. Like, it's not like, man, I'm sore here and clearly I'm not ready to fully contribute to this team. It's like, no, I could probably play 4 days. Just get me up there.
It's being asked, are you ready for the job? And him saying, yes, I can't explain why they're not giving me this job right now. And he's 100% right. Now, I hate that he's got to almost advocate for himself, go on local news stations and be like, I can't explain what their thought process is either. It makes no sense to me. It's just, it's odd. It's odd that he would even say this and have to speak this way for himself. But I'm happy that he's at least comfortable enough to be like, yeah, I don't get it either.
I know it's something like, obviously we've been screaming about DeLauder for what like feels like months
for a job. Yeah.
But I mean, how much more undeniable can he be? He's on a 15 game hitting streak. He's on a 27 game on base streak. Uh-huh. He's playing 3 to 4 nights a week.
And like, the offense right now can't hit. It'd be different if we were standing in the way of all sorts of different players and we're like, well, we got to find out more from Jonathan Rodriguez and we got to see what else player X, Y, or Z can do. We don't have to right now. We don't have to. You have the worst right field situation in the entire major leagues. You have the worst two-hole situation in all of baseball. You got holes everywhere. Worst offense in the entire sport for the month of June. Like, start fixing it. But for some reason, they won't. And I don't think the Guardians are understanding right now. They're not only making a lot of fans mad, but they're making it really hard to take in their product. And there will hit a point where they try to go to the DeLauder well and bring him up to enthuse the fan base and get people excited. And people will not care. People will have they've lost the idea of even caring. They won't believe that you're a serious team this year, and bringing DeLauder won't bring the excitement that you think it will.
Yeah, I truthfully think right now, bringing in a new name, whether that be Kafis, DeLauder, Brito, is more important than anything they do on the field after it for the actual product you're putting out there and the imagery you're giving off by doing it.
For more on this and for more on the game tonight, Zach Zabeman, part of the Cubs Radio Network. He'll join us next right here on The Fan with Afternoon Drive.
Do you have the poll up right now on the Guardians, the diabolical question?
Let me refresh here.
Yeah. What's the diabolical question here?
Yeah, find it.
Because we got the LeBron thing. We got the...
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
We are still at 46% say it's the Guardians cutting the payroll after the ALCS.
46% is a hell of a large number.
And 30% Browns, 22% Cavs.
So I gave them extra time. Because... One, I want to make sure, because I thought that they deserve extra time to get this thing going again, because they've been the more consistent franchise out of the three, have been the more most consistent franchise, even though they haven't won a championship in 70-plus years. They've been a more successful, consistent team that I think has earned the time. But, man, I over the last week, when I got Zach Meisel joining us last week saying he doesn't believe all the stuff that I'm wondering about the television contract that you and I have talked about.
What do you mean by that?
He believes that they could have invested in this team. I thought that they had shed salary because of the television deal, it going away. Because you went from guaranteed money to everything thrown up in the air. And Zach did not believe that that was a decent excuse for them. He did not believe that.
Well, I've only compared it to their way of spending. A bit, like, I'll never know truly how much access, you know, to cash they have. I mean, it's funny. Every time there is an accounting of how much the family is worth, they talk about, you know, the old Cablevision money. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why? Does every one of Elon Musk's kids get to say they're worth trillions of dollars? Like, that's not really how families operate.
They can't bankroll this season off of the TV schedule that's coming up, right? They have to do that off of what they earned from last year.
They're supposed to be able to, yes. I'm just saying, I
don't think any business operates with, well, we got this money coming in, right? Once we sell all these subscriptions to our cable plan.
My entire point
except
of it,
the one time they sold STL, right? They had that one time cash
future earnings type of thing, right?
And the BAM, the Major League Baseball, when every team got some money, they spent money that year. Okay. That's it. Those are the only two times, and they've only ever really spent in 2016, 2017.
But when Zach is telling me that they could have done something more than what they're doing right now, I think that's a huge blow to the confidence in the organization from the fan base.
I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt you there and get sticky on that point.
Go ahead.
I just don't understand, like, if we're just assuming there's all this money that is available that they're not spending, what are we basing that on?
I'm not.
Like, yeah, we want every millionaire or, you know, billionaire, because we have two billionaires in this town. We'd love them to spend more money and more money and more money. And in those sports, Haslam has. He's spent more money than any owner, and obviously Dan Gilbert has pledged to.
Yes.
Within reason. Like, they're not doing the second apron thing. Like, Ty Jerome would cost them like $60 million, not just the $14 they would pay him. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is just saying, hey, I wish you'd spend more. Like, yeah, my kid is always going to say to me, I wish you'd spend more. I wish you would buy me more. I wish you would buy me more things. But what is within reason? I don't know how you would... I don't know how you'd estimate that. Like, where would you, what books would have we opened?
But that's the thing, is that it wasn't Zach in Mayfield Heights.
Mm-hmm.
It was Zach Meisel from The Athletic. And so when a guy who's in the know says that, I have to reevaluate what I've been saying this entire time. Because if it sounds like an excuse to him, it's going to sound like an excuse to a lot of people. And maybe I should be holding them more accountable for what they're doing. I got to ask Matt that question coming up at 9:22. Because I could say, hey, guys, don't raise the white flag. Don't raise the white flag. The season isn't over yet. You got a second half coming up. I don't know. Does it sound like Chris Antonetti and everybody else is kind of raising the white flag with their actions? Not with what they said, the placating word. I mean, Stephen Vogt's going to go out there and say the nicest thing he possibly can about his team because it's not even July. So July starts tomorrow and the new month starts and he's got to say something nice. What?
Stephen Vogt doesn't buy the ingredients. He just has to cook a meal out of what he has, right?
So when,
and he doesn't get any of these players in here.
Exactly. And when Chris Antonetti's going on and doing his press conference and talking about the future and how hitters are going to be fine, a lot of people just don't believe him to the point where it just seems like they're trying to buy more time or buy more understanding for whatever they're trying to do.
Yeah, we're going through a tough stretch right now offensively. For the last month, we haven't been at our best scoring runs, but I continue to believe in the group of players that are here, and it's really hard to be consistently successful at the major league level for anyone, and it's really hard for a young group to do that consistently, and you know, we are in the process of working through that, but I think as we look forward, the results will be better from here than they've been over the last month. I don't think the last month is indicative of the potential of the guys that are on the roster.
Chris Antonetti has been a guy that I think a lot of people in Cleveland have trusted. And so when he goes out there and he talks, I think that they're trying to get some time and some trust from the fan base. But then again, when he talks about Chase DeLauder, it seems to incense a lot of people.
Chase has made great progress. We were candid in sharing one of the big objectives with him is being able to just increase the total volume that he's able to play. And we had a very deliberate build up in that volume. And there were times, you know, as we increased the volume where his body was more sore than it had been in the past. So we had to pull things back.
I mean, my God,
increase the volume.
He's a professional baseball player. You're either going to be able to do it or you don't. I know that he's been banged up for the better part of the last couple of years, but my God, you drafted the guy to be a part of your franchise. All right. Have you not? So you want to go and you want to get something that's positive. You're 40 and 42. The only thing that keeps you anywhere with your head above water, which technically you aren't because you're under 500, is the third wild card spot and the rest of the American League being garbage. That is not an argument. The American League Central is done. The Tigers have already won it. Your second half is easier, way easier than your first half. Owen has highlighted that several times because it just out of reference, not even as an argument.
You're right, but the second half can be easier all at once. If you're already out of it, who cares?
Yeah. And so when you have this lineup that is nonsensical, the platooning in the outfield, the situation you have where, hey, I like Kyle Manzardo. He has a fine mustache. I wish he could play every day and hit every day so we could see what he has. First base, it's terrible. I know it's bad for everybody. Carlos Santana ain't going to be around for very much longer. You want the season to stand for something. But when you have fans, what bothers me the most is when Zach is telling me that I really can't use the television deal as a full excuse the way I have been. When Zach's telling me on the air that I really can't do it, it shakes me to my core. Because then you have totally signed off on this team, which made it to the ALCS last year, being worse this season. It better be worse for the greater good. I don't know how to spin that, and I don't think you can spin that after 9-16 and one of the worst hitting months you've ever had in franchise history. It's been 120 years of franchise history, for crying out loud. So I don't know how you can spin that one, brother, because that's all you're trying to do is spin it. And fans are as fit to be tied as they've ever been because it's listless. The bullpen usage is mind-boggling. Letting guys roast out there. It seems that you basically give up everything when you're down by two runs when you should be fighting over everything. And I think that it's because he doesn't trust the bullpen nearly as much as some of the other people do. Emmanuel Clase, you really don't know what you're going to get out of him every single day.
Had an opportunity to see him for a week.
That's another part of it.
They think about when they've had to pitch him because they had to make sure he could still play. Like just shows you the state of affairs they're in right now.
But I don't think, Ken, I don't even think it's that they're worse off as a fan. I think it's, as a fan, they are telling me that they are willing to accept being worse off, that they're just willing to do it.
Yeah.
I just want you to try. Well, as a front office, I want you to try. And that means shuffling the lineup around or shuffling the roster around, bringing guys up from Columbus that maybe they don't have it. You know who they brought up a while ago? We had a guy down there named Francisco Lindor that everybody was looking forward to seeing. And they said, no, we're going to bring up this Jose Ramirez guy and put him at short and try him out there. And it was just supposed to be to fill until Francisco Lindor's time could not eat into another year of his contract. And then it turns out that Jose Ramirez was really good and he's going to get a statue one day. And I'm not saying that any of these guys in Columbus are in his ballpark right now.
But I don't know,
and I'd rather find out than continue to see Jonathan Rodriguez and Jones platoon out in right field, or see Carlos Santana, who we all love as a person, but
that's the same. You see, they're going to use that argument against you. They're going to use that argument against me. I've been saying, well, you drafted Chase DeLauder for a reason. You brought him in for a reason because you want him to be a Major League Baseball player. Well, they're the same team that went out and got Nolan Jones and traded away Nolan Jones and brought Nolan Jones back. Well, it's the same people still making those decisions, so they definitely want to work it out with Nolan Jones. And because he doesn't have any other options, they're going to push that to its absolute last level before they move on from Nolan Jones and let guys like Jonathan and I argue about exit velo. God knows what else. They're going to do that. Which, again, as crazy as this seems, we're making a big deal over DeLauder, who has been injured. We're making a big deal over C.J. Cephas. Could you imagine if Travis Bazzano was healthy and hitting decently at all? They'd be standing outside over there on the corner of Carnegie, Ontario with pitchforks.
Well, guys in his class have already been called up and are playing well. That's what sucks about it, especially considering the Red Sox kid has been unbelievable, right? Like, there have been a few of these kids that have already gotten the call up, and it just sucks that, you know, we haven't had the kids called up and then the injuries.
I've given them the benefit of the doubt. I've given them that.
I think they've earned it. People get mad at us for saying that. Like, I'm sorry, they've overachieved for so many years. This Guardians, if you would ask anybody around baseball, they'd say, my God, the Guardians, like, they are a success story.
I think it's been far too easy for far too long for guys who host shows to start yelling cheap and bitching and moaning. But I think we are getting closer to a point here where for the first time, like, it's almost like a kid who cried wolf. If I'm willing to start saying it, and certain other people are willing to start saying it, maybe there is a problem there. Because I could just go out here and say, Dolan's cheaps, Dolan's cheaps, Dolan's cheaps, as they went and they won the American League Central last year. That doesn't take nothing. Any idiot can do that. But this last season, if I'm hearing different from what I've been saying, boy, that's tough. That's real tough.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.